Good. Well, I wonder who likes getting an invitation? And maybe to a birthday party, maybe to a wedding or something like that if you're a bit older.
But we love getting invitations, don't we? It's so exciting to get an invitation. And I've got somewhere an invitation for some of you. So, who would like an invitation? Hannah, you're invited.
There we go. Let's see us. Zachary, you're invited. Got an invitation again. Quinn, you've got an invitation as well. There we go. Okay.
So, the rest of you can join in as well. But the children have got an invitation to a party after the service today. So there's going to be a party. Isn't that exciting? To be invited to a party. Well, this morning, as we look at Isaiah 55, we are all given an invitation. A great invitation. The best invitation, because as we'll see, it satisfies and meets our greatest need. We, a couple of weeks ago, looked at chapter 54 of Isaiah, and this week at chapter 55, and we're seeing the implications of Jesus' work as the suffering servant, all that he has achieved on the cross for us. So last week we saw that we are to sing and not be afraid, or last 2 weeks ago, because we have peace with God and a certain future. And this week we're told to come and enjoy it. To come and share in all the benefits Christ has won. So let's begin by looking at this marvellous invitation. And you can see it there in verse 1. Do have your Bibles open. Do help the children around you to look at it as well. You see there, there's the invitation. Verse 1, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That's how the invitation is given. It's an invitation to come. To those who are hungry and thirsty, it's an invitation to come and eat and drink. It's an invitation to come and have their needs met, their thirst quenched and their hunger satisfied. Now, children, I need your help now because I need you to come out and help me, okay? So what I want you to first do, I want you to turn and face everyone else, and I need you to pretend that you are really, really thirsty, okay? Can you pretend that you're really, really thirsty, like you haven't had a drink for days, and oh, Matt, your throat's sore, can we do that? What do you like? And then I want you to pretend you have a big drink of water, and then you're nice. You're going to pretend to drink of water. And now how do you feel? If you've been really thirsty, now you had your drink, you feel happy? Yes. Okay, now you've got to pretend that you're really, really hungry. Okay, so, oh, starving, you haven't eaten. Mummy hasn't given you any food for days. Oh, you're really hungry. And then you're going to eat a big burger. You're going to go, how do you feel now? Nice and full and happy. Yeah? Excellent. Great. Well, take a seat, because that is what is being offered here. Well, that's the picture that's being used here. It's an invitation to those who are thirsty to come and to drink and have their thirst quenched. And you notice what's best of all about this is that it's all free. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and labour on what does not satisfy? So it's not like going to a restaurant where you have to pay for it or earn it. This offer, this invitation is free. Come and enjoy it and it costs you nothing. But actually, this is just a picture of the real invitation. Because it's not an invitation to eat and drink. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. Have a look down at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. You see, that's what the invitation really is. It's an invitation to come and to seek the Lord, to come to him for mercy and pardon. For that is what we really need. That's the hunger that needs to be satisfied. It's not about getting fed, but getting forgiven. Because look at how we're all described in verse 7. See that? We're described as wicked and unrighteous. And that's not just talking about some sort of really bad people, but all of us. That is the way that naturally we all live, the way we think. We show our hearts to be turned away from God. It's what the Bible calls sin. We sort of often remember it as saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Jordan, I want you to imagine that you, if you treated one of the other children in your crack class or nursery like that. Imagine if you always ignored them and you never spoke to them. You called them names and you didn't listen to them when they tried to talk to you. Well, you wouldn't be surprised, would you, if you didn't get an invitation to their birthday party. And it's the same with God. We all deserve not to be invited. But the amazing invitation here is that despite how we've treated him, God still invites us all to come, to return to God and receive compassion, mercy, and pardon. And it's an invitation that's been made possible because the price has already been paid. Like the invitation to come and eat, it's free to us. Because as we've seen, the invitation comes on the back of Isaiah chapter 53, where we're told that the suffering servant was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. It's there speaking of Jesus' death on the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, paying the price that we should pay, so that we may freely return to God and receive the mercy and pardon he offers. That is the invitation we're being given today. That's what's on offer to each and every one of us. A wonderful invitation, because it promises satisfaction to meet our need. Because we do, don't we? We spend our life going after what doesn't satisfy. Verse 2, again, why spend money on what is not bread and let your labour on what does not satisfy? You see, we search everywhere for what will make us happy in life. It may be money, it may be stuff, toys or gadgets. We think if we only have that, we will be happy. It may be popularity or career or family or security or comfort. It can be a whole load of things, all good things. But what we do is we take the good thing and we put it in the God, make it into a God thing. We put it in the place of God. It's what the Bible calls idols, not little statues, but things that we put in place to give our lives meaning and purpose. One writer says it like this, describes an idol as anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give, anything that's so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would hardly feel worth living. I wonder what it is for you that has that danger of replacing God at the centre of your life. You see, we pour our time and effort and lives into these things, looking for them to meet our need, to bring satisfaction. And yet afterwards, we remain hungry for more. They do not satisfy. They do not fulfill that need that we long for. I think it's a little, only a little, but a little like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Do you know Kentucky Fried Chicken? I don't know if you ever frequent it. Well, I love KFC, but I don't know why I love KFC. Because it's expensive, it's bad for me, it doesn't taste particularly nice, and all it gives me is indigestion. And as soon as the indigestion goes, you're left feeling hungry again. Well, that's exactly what it's like with our idols. We know they don't satisfy us. We know they're costly to serve as we invest and pour all our energy into them, as we buy more stuff, as we pour ourselves out into our career or our family, thinking that that's where we'll get all our fulfillment. And yet we still do it. We still love them when we go back again and again. And yet here is an invitation to come that comes with a promise, satisfaction guaranteed. Whatever we seek from our idols, but they fail to deliver, whether it's hope or love or assurance or relationship or happiness or meaning or value, all those things, well, they're all actually met when we turn back to God and receive the pardon and forgiveness and restored relationship which he offers. All that's already been paid for and obtained through Christ's death. But we're left with the question then, how do we come? How do we come and accept this invitation? How do we receive this offer? Once we've stripped away all the kind of imagery, what does it mean to come and to eat and drink? Well, we're going to see that in a few minutes. But before we do, we're going to sing. Again, we're going to sing another children's song. So we've seen, haven't we? We've all been given an invitation by God to come to his party. So we've got another invitation here. So I need someone to come out and help me to open my invitation. Someone help me open my invitation. Quinn, are you going to come out? Here we go. Can you open up the envelope? Get your finger in there like that. Can you open up? Ooh, that's it. Take it out. Can you open it all up? Oh, look, there we go. So should we hold that up so everyone can read it? Can you read it out? It's an invitation. God invites you to his party. When is it? Today, after the service. And how are we to RSVP by listening to Jesus? Now, question is, do any of the children know what it means by RSVP? It's the question. You always get it on the invitations. Do you know, Hannah? Noah, do you know what RSVP means? Please reply. It's French, actually. It's posh French. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. In my best French accent there. It means please respond. Because whenever you get an invitation, you need to respond to it, don't you? Great. Good, take a seat. You need to respond to the invitation. Where shall I put that? I'll just put that over there for a moment. We'll have a look at that later on. We need to respond to the invitation. And that's the same with this invitation that God gives us, like any other. And we're going to see now from the Bible how we are to respond. And it is by accepting, by listening to Jesus. The way we accept this invitation of God to come and to be satisfied is by listening to Jesus. Have a look down at the second half of verse 2. Jesus says, God says, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me.
Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely he will summon nations to you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor.
So to eat is to listen to God. That is how we come. That is how we're to seek him, by coming to his word. It's an image that's used throughout the Bible. There's a verse in the Old Testament that I love, which goes like this. We use it at the start. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from God. Because bread, food, is the thing that we all need to live. If you can't have any of the food, if you had bread, then it would keep you going. It would satisfy your hunger. But actually, there is something more important to life even than bread. And that is God's word, the Bible. But when it talks about God's word there, it's not just talking about the Bible, but the word. The word, Jesus Christ. He is the one who we are to listen to. And now I need you to do a little bit of work to help me now. So I've got a job for each side. So you're one team, you're the other team. Okay, and so over this side, I need you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 35. Okay, and I need this side to turn to John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. So John chapter 6, verse 35. And John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. And do help those sitting next to you if they're struggling to find that. If they're young. And I want you to look at those verses. You can talk to the person sitting next to you if you want. You can look by yourself. And the question for each one is, how does Jesus describe himself? And what does he promise will happen to those who come to him? So how does Jesus talk about himself? And what does he promise to those to come to him? Okay, so have a little look. Feel free to talk to your neighbour if you want to. And then we'll find out what the answers are. Okay. So let's have a see how we do. So on this side from John 6:35, let me just read it. John 6:35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So how does Jesus describe himself? As the bread of life. And what does he offer to those who come to him? Any ideas? If you're hungry or thirsty, what will happen to you? Did you say you won't be hungry and thirsty? You won't be hungry. Yes, yes. Yes, you will no longer be hungry and thirsty. Great. Okay, what about John chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14? So Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become like them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So how does Jesus describe himself, or what he offers? He's living water. Yeah, he's like a fount of living water. And what's the effect for those who come to him? Eternal life. Yeah, those who are thirsty will come and receive eternal life. But you see in each of those verses, do you see the echoes of the language of Isaiah 55? But here, who is the bread? Who is the water? Who is it that will quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger? Who is it that promises satisfaction guaranteed? Well, it's Jesus himself. He is the one who announces this salvation through his teaching. And he's the one who achieves this salvation through his suffering, death. And he's the one who will lead his saved people through his words. And so it's by coming to him and listening to him that we come to God and receive mercy and pardon. He's the means by which we're to listen to God and come to him and to be fed and satisfied. It's by coming to him that we seek the Lord and call on his name. It's by coming to him that we receive compassion and pardon that we long for and desire and need. And so we're only left to ask, will you accept that invitation? We've seen what a great invitation it is. It's a great feast of compassion and pardon, already paid for and bought through the death of Jesus. It's guaranteed to quench our thirst and satisfy our deepest need. And all we need to do is to come and listen to Jesus. So let me ask you, will you accept that invitation? It may be that you've never accepted it before. In which case, will you accept it for the first time this morning? It is a wonderful invitation, but it is like those summer sails. It's not forever. Do you notice that from verse 6 of Isaiah 55? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. The offer has an expiry date. There will be a time when it will be too late, when the Lord will not be found, when he will no longer be near, when your ways will lead you through the gates of hell, and they'll be shut behind you, sealing your home for eternity. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will freely have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. But actually, it's a challenge for each and every one of us, whether we will accept this invitation, no matter how long you've been a Christian for. Because you see, this isn't a decision that we only make once, but it's one that we have to make every single day. For each morning we wake up, and on our sort of doormat, if you like, are two invitations. There's an invitation from God to come and to listen to him. But there is another invitation. Hannah, would you come and open this one for us? You happy to come out? Open this one up. There we go. Hold that one up for me. So we receive another invitation, don't we? We receive an invitation from the world. The world invites you to its party. When? Today. And how do we respond to that? By valuing other things more than Jesus. So two invitations. Thank you. Just put those up on the board. Two invitations. Each morning we find ourselves double booked. We have an invitation from God to come to him, to listen to him. But every day we also have an invitation from the world to come and to follow and value the things that it offers more than Jesus.
One is to come to Christ and his word, to delight ourselves in the rich food and drink the best wine, to listen to him in the Bible and to find the word of grace and mercy, compassion and pardon, and so to find that satisfaction that he offers. Or we can go and dine with our idols. We can listen to the world and value other things more than Jesus. Even though it's like that KFC meal that doesn't ultimately satisfy, that leaves us hungering for something more. And it's a very real choice that we face every day, today, tomorrow, every single day. Will you accept God's invitation? Or will you, verse 2, spend your money on that which does not bread and labour for that which does not satisfy? Or will you listen diligently to Jesus Christ and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food? Which will it be today? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for that stark reminder of the invitation that you give us today. The invitation to come to you, to listen to you. And thank you for that reminder of the promise of satisfaction, that it is only Jesus through his death that offers what we so long for and we seek in so many other places. Please help us not to value other things above Jesus, but to listen to him and to come to him today. Amen.